You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey, I'm Sam Tweedle.
Martin Bruda.
Yeah.
And Martin, as he pointed out, is in the gilping corner because Chris is not here tonight.
He had an adventure.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Proposed to his girlfriend.
That's right. Chris Gilpin's getting married.
Yay!
Hey, so
we don't have any good sound effects.
No. That. Well, we can make sound cheering. Effects. Do you want to do that again?
Divorce lawyers fireworks. Everywhere are cheering.
Yeah. Anyways, we were debating in the kitchen about who would be in Chris's wedding party, and I am guessing it's going to be Marty. It's going to be Chris's cousin. Or is it his nephew or something like that? And the Hot Wheels guy at the Lakefield flea market.
I thought we were debating on what the sound is of the emergency button in the bathroom.
Oh, I guess we were debating that, but I wasn't there for that because.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So. That's the exciting stuff that happens.
I thought we were debating on how many episodes into the show we are.
Well, we didn't really debate. I asked a question, and you guys came out with wildly different answers.
I will look it up, but I think this is episode 90.
Yeah, so we're coming to episode 100, guys, and I think we need to do something really special. And I think we need to get Neil Adams on the show.
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer.
You laugh. You joke.
Yeah.
You laugh and you joke.
Yeah.
But Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin do a little podcast thing called Fat Man on Batman.
Yeah, I know that.
And they were talking about some movie and somebody was being cast in the movie, and I guess Ridley Scott's doing a movie, and they both looked at each other and they both said, starring Christopher Plummer. And I'm like, well, how did you guys get in on our joke?
I know. One of my favorite things to do on Facebook is just write the word Christopher Plummer and watch everybody freak out because they think he thinks he's dead.
Christopher Plummer's going to outlive me for pizza.
Hey, what's your favorite Christopher Plummer movie?
Hmm?
What's your favorite Christopher Plummer movie?
Well, I'd have to think about that.
I would have thought you would have said Star Crash.
Star Crash was pretty good.
He's in Star Crash.
Star Crash was pretty good.
Do you know the story about Christopher Plummer's part in Star Crash?
No.
Now, they only had Christopher Plummer for one day.
Well, that's usually how it is.
Yeah. But they actually told all the actors that you cannot talk on set while we're filming Christopher Plummer because we can't afford anybody to screw up any lines to do any retakes. So every time you actually see Christopher Plummer talking, everybody's just standing around really like not saying anything. And there's this one like really hilarious part where you see like David Hasselhoff looking really, really bored because, you know, and just looking at his feet because Christopher Plummer's talking and he's not allowed to.
There you go.
So, yeah. But yeah, the actors were not allowed to speak on while the camera was rolling on Christopher Plummer. So...
Were they allowed to speak at Dragnet?
What?
When they filmed Dragnet. He was in Dragnet.
Yeah, well, it was a different director. I mean, it was, you know, that's different. I don't know. It wasn't... Christopher Plummer didn't make this rule up. I think it was just the director of Star Crash.
Were they allowed to talk during the Battle of Britain when they were filming that?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know
what... Is this just a general Christopher Plummer rule?
No,
or
no.
Is this...
It was just the director
like
of...
Like the Marlon Brando, no. Don't Look Me in the Eyes
no,
thing?
No, the director of Star Crash... said that they did not have enough money to do retakes because they were paying Christopher Plummer too much money for two scenes and 10 minutes of film.
Was that in the original Klingon?
What?
Christopher Plummer, Star Trek. He was the Klingon that he claimed that Shakespeare was Klingon, and
I don't know about
you've
that.
You've never seen, what was it, Star Trek VI?
I've never seen all the Star Trek movies.
What?
I've only seen certain ones.
He was the major. I want to say his name was Kang or Krang, but I could be mixing that up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Aren't those like the two aliens from The Simpsons?
No, I think his name
was Kang. Kudos and Kang, I believe, the aliens.
Yeah.
Now I got to look it up. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
All right. So one of my favorite things, I guess the Christopher Plummer joke in our group all started out of the Peterborough Comic Con. And it was just this thing that it's now encompassed our entire lives. And, I don't know about our entire lives, but
I was going to say, maybe not our entire lives.
Yeah, but every now and then.
It's a running joke.
So every now and then, like, I'm bored and I have nothing clever to say on Facebook. So I just put up Christopher Plummer, and all the people on my Facebook, like probably 500 people who don't get the joke, I just love watching them lose their marbles over it.
Yeah, see, his name in the movie was Chang.
Chang, okay.
See? Because Christopher Plummer as a Klingon.
Look at that.
And literally the joke in the movie is that he's claiming that Shakespeare was a Klingon and Hamlet is better in its original Klingon.
Huh. I don't think I saw that. What was that one called?
The Undiscovered Country.
No, I don't think I saw that one.
We can't be friends anymore.
Sure, I saw the first
one. No, we're done.
I saw the first one.
No, you don't understand. We can't be
friends
anymore.
The first one's the really boring one with the bald chick.
What are you... We're not going through Star Trek.
And then there was a second one. That's the one... That's Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
I saw that.
God!
And then I saw...
Three, Search for Spock.
Search for Spock. I saw that in theaters as a kid.
There you go.
That was probably the first Star Trek movie I saw.
Four.
What one was number four?
The whales.
Oh, yeah. I saw the whales.
What was that one called? The Voyage Home?
Voyage Home.
Something like that.
Okay, what was number five?
Number five was the one with God.
No, I didn't see that one.
What does God need with a starship?
Nope.
Was the greatest line ever said in Star Trek?
Never saw it. Okay, so what one was number six?
Undiscovered Country.
Okay, so what happened in that one?
There was, it was like the beginning of the Klingon... hostilities.
I did see that one.
There was like a...
Yeah. I don't remember Christopher Plummer in it, but I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, they basically set up the Enterprise crew to make it look like they assassinated.
I saw that when I was in high school. Yeah. And at the end, isn't there like a scene at the end where Bones and Kirk and Spock are like around a campfire singing or something?
Don't they do that on every movie?
No, I think they just do that on that one. Oh, okay. All right, what was the next one?
I'm gonna guess Generations, but I can't be.
Never saw Generations.
That was the one where it was Next Generation and Kirk.
I believe so, yes.
No, I didn't. Isn't that one where Kirk dies?
Yeah.
Well, Kirk actually dies in. He died in that one at the very, very beginning of the film.
Uh-huh.
But then they bring him back in this weird. You're in heaven, but we need you. Picard finds him in heaven and says, "We need you." So they come back.
Wasn't that how they brought Green Arrow back in the Kevin Smith Green Arrow run?
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't see that one.
And then after that, it's just the Next Generation guys, which I didn't follow as closely as I should. So
no, I didn't see. I don't think I saw another. Isn't it funny how we started this conversation saying I've never seen Star Trek VI, when in actual fact the last one I saw was Star Trek VI.
That's because you're a stoner.
No, it's because I'm not a big Star Trek fan.
It's because you have the memory of a flea.
No, I have memories for stuff that I really care about, which is obviously not Star Trek movies.
Okay.
All right. So, anyway.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So, what was your favorite Star Trek comic, guys?
Well.
Is there like a single issue of a Star Trek comic that really stands out to you?
No.
Is this you trying to get the show back on topic?
A little bit. But for me, it was the Star Trek annual that focused on Scotty and his love of this woman he was married to. Like he finds out this woman he was in love with and he was married to has died, and it goes through all these different memories of him with this.
Is that Marvel or DC?
It was the DC book.
Because I remember as a kid reading the Marvel series, but not remembering much about it.
Okay.
Like it was just a book that I read. It's kind of like Godzilla. Like I read Godzilla, I read Nova, but I'm pretty young at that age, right?
Yeah.
So I remember reading them and buying them, but I couldn't tell you what the storyline was.
I remember buying that Star Trek annual, like at the Becker store near my parents' place when I was a kid. It was like one of those things that they just was random comics, right? So you went to buy comics and you bought the best looking thing on the shelf because God knows what was going to be there, right? You didn't really know. And I remember buying that, and it was just a book that I read over and over and over and over again. in my childhood, that Star Trek annual, which I still have. I still have the copy I bought as a kid somewhere in my collection. And I think that's really the only Star Trek issue that really stands out to me. Well, now, I love the covers of the Gold Key ones.
Now, when Star Trek switched from Marvel to DC, they've actually have two series. They had a first series, and then they had another relaunch.
Okay.
And for the life of me, I'm trying to get all the issues of the DC first series.
Okay.
But for some reason, you get mixed up, and like I need issue 42 or issue 23, and I end up grabbing it from the second series, and then it doesn't fit, and I'm like, oh, I'm so confused. So by accident, I'm collecting the second series as well.
Leonard Kirk tells a really great Star Trek story. Leonard Kirk drew one of the Star Trek series later on. And there was a graphic novel that came out. I don't know what Star Trek series it was, but he did have a great... Leonard Kirk's a really big Star Trek fan. And Leonard Kirk, for you guys out there that might not know, is... I guess he works for Marvel now, doesn't he? And he does Chapter House books, doesn't he? Does he still draw Captain Canuck?
That's a trick question.
Okay. But he's famous for doing stuff like Fantastic Four and... I know he was on Fantastic Four. Squadron Supreme, did he do Squadron Supreme at one point?
He's recently been doing Black Panther, I believe.
Is he doing Black Panther? Yeah. He was telling me the story one time where he had a Star Trek graphic novel he drew, and then he had a cover. It was one of his covers. And on the cover was Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and George Takei. And... I guess at that point there was something going on where Shatner and Takei were really like at each other because those guys are famously don't get along very well.
Who?
William Shatner and George Takei.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think William Shatner gets along fine with George Takei. He just doesn't pay any attention to him, so he's not in his sphere of influence, so he doesn't bother him.
Maybe.
I think it's George that hates the snot out of...
Most likely. Well, Leonard Kirk tells a story about where Shatner was at Fan Expo, so he brought his cover, you know, a graphic novel of the cover he drew to Shatner to get it signed, and he says Shatner signed his name right over George Takei's face. And he loves that story. Well, it's a story.
There
anyways,
you go.
That's
Did you, one of the things I saw was that Leonard Nimoy's son just married an actress from Star Trek. I don't know which one.
Yeah, I read
one,
that
but
this week. Wasn't she from, like, Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, she was Dax from Deep Space Nine.
Voyager.
Jadzia Dax.
What one was Deep Space Nine?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a single episode of that show. I don't even know what it's about.
It's about Star Trek.
Well, yeah, I know that.
It's about Starfleet. Deep in space.
The only Star Trek shows I've ever seen is...
So deep in space, like nine deep in space.
The only Star Trek shows I've ever watched is the original Star Trek, because if you breathe on this world, you've seen it. And Next Generation. And I've never seen any of the other shows.
I miss Next Generation.
Yeah, it was a great show.
We moved to Ennismore when Next Generation, just before Next Generation came out.
Mm-hmm.
And out there, we had a busted TV antenna.
Yeah.
No cable, no satellite back then. And all we could catch was checks. Mm-hmm. So for the entire 9-year run that Star Trek Next Generation was on TV, I didn't catch, what was it, Buffalo 29, I think it was the channel.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that channel once.
Used to be on CKVR as well.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Whole 9 years. Never saw an episode.
Yeah, I had friends.
I've seen one or two here or there. But
I watched it because I had friends who watched it, but, and, you know, they'd get me to watch it every once in a while, and I was interested. But again, I wasn't a big follower of it. But I appreciated it. I liked it for what it was. And, okay, so I'm not a big Trek fan. I'm just not. But, man, do I have a lot of respect for its importance and its influence in pop culture, in science fiction, in the world of fandom. I mean, you know, I do have its respect. It's kind of like, for me, Star Trek is kind of like Led Zeppelin. I don't like Led Zeppelin, but man, do I respect Led Zeppelin. And I respect Led Zeppelin's fans. It's the same as Star Trek.
We can't be friends anymore.
Why?
Because I like Led Zeppelin? Star Trek.
Oh. Well, no. Like, I didn't say I don't like Star Trek.
Yes, you did. You said you don't like Star Trek, but you respect Star Trek.
Well, I'm not a fan. And people
think... What does that mean?
People think that because I'm in this world that I must be a Star Trek fan. So people, like, give me Star Trek crap all the time. And I'm like, thanks. I love this. I'm just going to put it in my closet till I can, you know, give it away or sell it.
I dig Star Trek, but I'm not that guy that knows what happened in episode 72. Yeah. I don't know, you know, that in episode 36, Ensign Billy Bob was in a red shirt, and then 14 episodes later, he's in a gold shirt, and it's confusing because it's the same actor playing two different guys. And
Could you please explain the dichotomy of the casting choice in that particular episode?
Well, they were obviously twins.
I'm not that guy.
They had twin brothers that were on the same ship.
But I know most of the characters. And
yeah. Oh, so do I. I mean, it's just important in pop culture history. But, like, you know what? Like, yeah, I like sci-fi, but really, for me, like, I'm more of a Star Wars guy than a Star Trek guy. And even then, I have, like, I only love certain aspects or care about certain aspects of Star Wars. But really, the only two science fiction franchises I've ever really loved is Planet of the Apes and Doctor Who. And those are the
Planet of the Apes isn't science fiction.
Sure, it's science fiction.
No, it's history.
It's history.
Future history.
That shit's going to happen. No. That's happening.
That's happening.
Some time traveler came back with a history book that they teach in grade 11 history in the year 2632.
Yeah.
And went, here, this is what's happening.
This is what's happening. And you know what? It'd explain a lot.
It would.
It would. But yeah, no, Apes and Doctor Who, those are the two sci-fi franchises I've ever gone really crazy over.
Now, TV comic books.
Yeah,
comic
sure.
books based on movies and TV.
Yes.
How come, realistically, I mean, DC has one or two with their mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And does Marvel have any?
Well, historically they have.
No, but do they
not
now?
Currently. I don't think so.
So other than Dynamite, who's making?
IDW.
Which one's IDW doing?
X-Files.
X-Files. Don't they do My Little Pony too, or is that Boom? Yeah,
they do My Little Pony. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They do ROM, Micronauts, which are going to be picked up as cartoons
and
movies.
They do Gem.
So how come Marvel got rid of that?
Back to the Future.
How come Marvel got out of that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's I don't know.
Like, what was the last good movie, TV, comic book that Marvel put out that you remember?
That I remember?
Yeah.
Man, it's been a long time.
It has.
It really has, yeah. I think...
Star Wars. They're doing the Star Wars comics.
Okay.
But that's kind of fairly recent that they got that back from Dark Horse.
Yeah.
But other than that...
Dark Horse does Buffy and...
Look, I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling trying to remember when was the last time Marvel did
a book. And Xenoscope does Charmed.
Yeah, but Charmed's off the air.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I collect a lot of those TV comics.
Mm-hmm.
And as you guys know, and in fact... When it comes to back issues, I was telling somebody this recently, I don't buy a lot of back issues anymore. But when I do, it's usually a lot of the TV ones, like old TV series from Gold Key. And what was the other company that did it? It was Gold Key and...
Charlton did a few, but not as many as Gold Key did.
That's right, because Charlton did The Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Gold Key...
Primus, what was it, Primus 6, Primus 7? Mm-hmm. That was a TV... movie thing.
Didn't they do what was the one with, and I'm not making a joke, I'm not being a son of a bitch right now, but what was the one with Patrick Duffy where he was underwater?
That was Marvel.
No.
Man from Atlantis.
Man from Atlantis. Was that Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I read that as a kid.
All right. DC, I remember doing Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
And they did Isis.
They had the entire Saturday morning cartoon line there for a bit where the DC Bullet actually had like DC Bullet TV.
Okay.
So that was, like you said, Welcome Back, Kotter, Shazam. Wonder Woman was under that for a little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
Isis. But I think that was it.
Charlton did Million Dollar Man.
Yeah. And Bionic Woman.
$6 Million Man.
They did $6 Million Man. They did Bionic Woman. Mm-hmm. They also did Black Hole from Disney. They did Swiss Family Robinson. What is it? Lost in Space?
Lost in Space. That was Gold Key. Gold Key did did that one.
Did Charlton pick it up afterwards?
I don't know.
No, I'm thinking Battle of the Planets and something else.
Battle of the Planets was done by
Gold Key as well.
Gold Key, okay. Well, so the ones I collect primarily, I'm always buying Dark Shadows because I'm a big Dark Shadows fan. I buy Dark Shadows everything. I mean, anything with Dark Shadows. Partridge Family, I really like. Actually, the Partridge Family comics are some of the worst comics ever done. Basically, what a Partridge Family comic is just a guy who would trace the photos of the Partridge Family, like the press photos, and then put speech balloons. But there's one issue of the Partridge Family comic I'm still looking for. I don't exactly know what number it is, but they actually did an issue where Danny Bonaducci, or playing Danny Partridge, well, not really playing Danny Partridge because it's a comic. Okay, so where Danny Partridge stumbles on the set of a porno movie. And they like this actually appeared in a Partridge Family comic, which I think if that happened in real life, it would really explain a lot to what messed Danny Bonaducci up. You know, if he stumbled on a porno set at the age of 10. But that's the issue. I'm looking for that. There was an old television series, and the ones I'm currently looking for. Can I give you my want list on TV comics? Sure, why not? Because it's not very long. There was a TV series in about 1962, 1963, only lasted a few episodes called Margie. Not to be confused with My Little Margie, but it was just called Margie. And there was three issues of Margie released. I don't have any of them, but boy, would I sure like to find them. Who did the Disney comics?
Gold Key.
That was Gold Key. So they did one issue of a book called Corky and the White Shadow. In the late 50s, Corky and the White Shadow starred...
that was about a high school basketball
No, it wasn't. Not that White Shadow. It was a Western about a girl with a white dog, and they fought Western guys, and Buddy Ebsen played her dad. And Darlene Gillespie from the Mickey Mouse Club played Corky, and I'd like to get that. That Partridge Family where Danny Bonaducci stumbles upon a porno set. I like to get that one. I think those – and I mean any – I still – Tony, our friend Tony Andrews, sold me a bunch of the Dark Shadow ones with the photo covers. I'd like to – Dark Shadow's number one. I saw it at Comic Alley Toys once and didn't buy it. And man, am I regretting that ever since. So I think that's my my list. Now shows that they never released comics. You know, they never made a Chips comic.
No. Why would they?
Well, they should have.
No. You know what they are doing now?
What's that?
Charlie's Angels comic from Dynamite.
I saw that.
Uh-huh. With 10 variant covers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because we need 10 variant
covers. We do. Totally do. Yeah. Only problem is it's got the wrong angel in it. Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, you liked? I
like Cheryl Ladd better.
Man, I always had a bit of a thing for
Cheryl.
I watched the first season not long ago, and who was the one that wasn't Cheryl Ladd and wasn't
Kate Jackson?
Wasn't Kate Jackson?
Oh, Jacqueline Smith.
Yeah, I liked her. Kate Jackson started her career on Dark Shadows, although her character was never in a Dark Shadows comic.
She was in The Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Do you know what was DC did? Okay, this is going to be a funny story.
Was it? All right,
yeah. I think we've talked about it on the show already. I remember Marvel did the A-Team comic that I think only lasted three issues or something
like
that.
Yeah, I got that.
And I remember when I was a kid having this conversation with this guy that was in my school about a comic. I think it was the first issue. I got the issue where Spider-Man married Mary Jane. And I was so excited, and I told this kid in school, I was like, hey, this book's going to be a collector's item. It's going to be a collector's item. I can't wait. I got to keep it good. It's going to be a collector's item. And the kid looked at it, and he says, no, it's not going to be a collector's item. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, if it's going to be a collector's item, it says it on the cover.
It says right on it.
It says right on the cover, collector's item. And he pulled out an issue of the A-Team, number one, and it said first collector's item issue. He's like, see, it says it's going to be a collector's item if it's going to be a collector's item. And I remember looking at that and first being really upset because I was obviously wrong in my head, you know. And I remember that horrible logic. I got first and second issue of the A-Team last year at the barn for the first time. I finally got those. But yeah, I like the TV comics. That's kind of the stuff I do find myself buying if I buy back issues of anything.
Well, back in the Bronze Age when I was reading comics off the rack, the only Marvel comics I was reading were tie-in books like that. Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. Logan's Run, you know, those kind of books. Remember, Star Wars.
When I was growing up, my parents let me pretty much watch anything I wanted on TV. There wasn't really anything I wasn't allowed to watch. The only exception is my mom. I remember trying to watch V. Remember V?
Yeah.
And I remember trying to watch that, and my mom, it was the episode where the Star Child had the, no, where the girl had the girl, she was in Poltergeist, eventually murdered by her boyfriend. She had the two babies, and one was an alien baby, and one was a human baby. Do you remember that? I think it was in the second miniseries. And I remember my mom, like, watching that with my mom, and my mom got all upset and disgusted and thought it was just horrible, so she wouldn't let me watch V. It was the only TV show I was not allowed to watch on television, was V. But there was a V comic book.
Yep, from DC.
And I was allowed to buy the V comic book, but I could not watch the V TV show.
Like, hypocrisy, Bob.
Yeah.
That's because your mom wasn't watching you read the book, so she didn't know what was in it.
She probably didn't even know what... I don't even think she checked what comics I was buying.
There you go.
So that was probably a big part of it, too. So.
My mom wouldn't let me watch one TV show from the 70s, can you guess? What would be the one TV show my mom wouldn't let me watch?
All in the Family.
Nope.
Chico and the Man.
Nope. Welcome Back, Cotter.
What?
Because she thought that the students there were being dumb and disrespectful and I shouldn't behave like that in school. So that was the one show that I was not allowed to watch.
And look how you turned out.
I could watch horror movies on Global at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I could watch, like you know, A-Team and where they're, like, shooting people all the time.
Yeah.
But I could not watch Welcome Back, Connor.
You know, it's funny for the A-Team. The A-Team used a lot of ammo, but you never saw them kill anybody.
That's because they were trained by stormtroopers.
The A-Team were horrible shots.
They were horrible shots.
I remember one time being at a comic shop one time and bringing that up. I just heard these Star Wars nerds just nerding out on Star Wars, and I was like, they were just so ridiculous that I said, hey, so why didn't the stormtroopers, you know, never shoot anybody? Why were they such miserable shots? And one guy was just like, well, you gotta understand that the stormtroopers' guns fired in a certain direction. And since Han Solo was once a stormtrooper, he knew that the direction the bolts were gonna go into, so he kept everybody just a little bit to the left.
What?
Seriously? But then another guy got into it. He's like, no, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Obviously, Luke and Leia had so much force around them that the force was keeping the lasers from hitting them.
I just want to know how that white armor didn't protect the stormtroopers. Was that what it was supposed to do?
What?
The white armor was supposed to protect stormtroopers from laser blasts.
It actually intensifies the laser blasts from what I've seen.
Yeah, exactly.
So
anyways, how about Fantastic Four number one?
Yeah, yeah.
From Dan Slott.
Dan Slott, I'm gonna buy it.
And what's the artist's name?
Sarah Pacelli.
I'm totally in.
I'm glad Dan tried to pronounce that last name before I tried to butcher it.
No.
Yeah, I'm in until I'm not. I'm always in. Every time they start a Fantastic Four book, I'm in, and then I read it for about seven issues and realize I don't like it very much, and I drop it.
That's the same thing with me with Fantastic Four. Yeah. Like I said on the Facebook, I have every single Fantastic Four number one except for the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love the idea. Mm-hmm. I love the concept. I love Marvel Zombie passion for the family.
I love the characters.
And I want to love the book. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Now, the last one I got the Jim Lee Fantastic Four from start to finish. But that was only 12 issues.
I got that one. I got that one too.
I read the James Robinson and Leonard Kirk.
I got all of those.
Fantastic Four. But the other ones, like you said, 5-6 months, and then I just... It's not that I don't like it. It's that something else came along that I liked better.
I even have runs where it's like Fantastic Four 276, and I'm like, I'm going to start collecting this because I love these characters. And then I'll read it for about 12 issues and drop it. And then I've done that multiple times from the original series. The thing is, Ben Grimm, the Thing, is probably my favorite of the traditional Marvel characters. Like, you ask who my favorite Marvel characters is, I'm going to talk about, like, Man. I'm a huge Man-Thing fan. I really like the Inhumans and stuff like that. But when you go to, the traditional characters, it's for me, it's always Ben Grimm. And I remember back in the 70s, before the X-Men were so popular, before Wolverine existed, Ben Grimm was kind of like... He kind of got usurped by Wolverine as being that kind of character.
He had Marvel 2-in-1.
Yeah.
He had his own series for a good, healthy spell there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just... Where'd the Fantastic Four love go?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm loving the new 2-in-1 because I'm really digging the storyline. I really like the... who is that? That's Chip Zdarsky, right?
Chip Zdarsky,
right? Yeah. And he's really captured the chemistry between Human Torch and Ben Grimm in a really real way.
Now, in the press release for the Fantastic Four number one, they were saying that Marvel 2-in-1 is going to continue.
Okay.
So it's still going to... I don't know if it's going to continue because that story's not finished yet. Or is it actually going to be like a full-blown continuation regular series going along with...
Hey. I just want the Thing teaming up with people. I'd be happy with that. Ben Grimm and Spider-Gwen. Ben Grimm and Squirrel Girl, which actually has happened. That was in there was a Thing book a number of years ago written by Dan Slott that was really good. It only lasted a few issues where it was Ben Grimm and Lockjaw hanging out doing things. It was really good, and there was a Squirrel Girl issue in that where which I think they did a Squirrel Girl graphic novel not long ago that they republished it actually that issue and I mean if they just did Ben Grimm teaming up with people I'd be totally back into it. Spider-Woman made her first appearance in a Marvel 2-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was a Marvel Spotlight. I think it was a Marvel Spotlight.
Oh, and then they continued her in 2-in-1.
Dan would know. He's got 12 copies.
2-in-1 was the first appearance in cameo, perhaps, or the second. We were joking about this on the show 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The second appearance in cameo, and then the full second appearance in like issues 29 and 30 or something like that.
Gotcha. But yeah, I'm excited about the new Fantastic Four. Like, I'm totally in. And with all of my DC books being canceled,
they're just getting restarted.
I guess so. We'll see what happens.
No, I missed. Is that June or July that we're looking at Fantastic Four?
I think it's
July.
July, yeah.
Now, they're also speculating that Uncanny X-Men's coming out shortly.
Okay.
Because they did some digging. See, if you go into Amazon and you look at some of their pre-order books and stuff, you can look at trade paperbacks.
Huh.
So they can see, okay, well, the last trade paperback has X-Men Gold up to issue number 30 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not an even number as far as, you know, how it's 6 issues fit in a trade paperback.
Yeah.
So there's speculation that, that conveniently ends X-Men Gold in the summer, so there's perfect opportunity to fire up. So they're doing a little sleuthing that way, right? Like, mm-hmm. why isn't there an issue 31 in the trade paperback?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty confident that once all the other books get restarted through the fresh now, they're probably going to restart the X-Men books and have Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, Avenging X-Men, The Inscrutable X-Men, The Incredible X-Men, The Dynamic X-Men.
With the legacy numbering, so they're all at 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know what my favorite, the comic that was announced this week that I'm the most excited about? Did you guys see that Dan Slott announced that he is drawing?
Not drawing, writing.
Is he writing it?
Yeah, he doesn't draw.
I think he's drawing it too.
Dan Slott doesn't draw?
Not Dan Slott. Dan Parent.
Oh, Dan Parent.
Dan Parent. He's drawing Batman 66.
He did say Slott, didn't he?
He did say Slott.
I did say Slott. I'm sorry. We were just
Archie and Batman 66. You're actually
Archie
excited about that.
Yes, I'm excited.
What are you talking about?
It's Archie.
It's
and it's Batman.
Dumb.
And it's da 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 da. Sugar.
I couldn't.
Yeah,
I can't stand.
Have you been waiting all day to do that?
Yeah, I have been. Yeah,
I can't stand any of those Batman 66 crossover books. They're horrible.
Oh, they're lame. The last time I bought one was Batman 66 meets the Avengers, and when I say Avengers, I mean.
The TV show.
The
Avengers.
TV show. Diana Rigg and Patrick McNee. And it was unreadable. It was so awful. so disgustingly awful. But Dan Perrin on Batman 66 meets Dan is definitely drawing it. I think it's a different guy writing it. But Batman 66 meets Archie. Oh, damn right, I'm in.
Nope.
Totally.
Nope.
Not for me. There's two covers been released of number one. One is a Dan Perrin cover with Adam West and Archie as Robin. And then there's one of the new Archie artists, because we all love their work. Drawing like Burt Ward and Adam West busting in this big window with the Archies, you know, rehearsing. And they cleverly dressed them in the clothes that they were wearing in the Archies animated promo. Like, there was one image of them as the Archies that they used over and over again on all their merchandise, but around 66. And that is the clothes that they're wearing in that promo that I think the second book. So I'll be buying them with all their variant covers. And
such a nerd.
I'm totally in. I'm excited, man. I'm totally excited about Batman 66 meets Archie. That's going to be, it won't be the most epic book of the year. Actually, let's face it, I'll be the only one buying it at CBA, but it'll give yet Victoria another thing to laugh at me about. She always laughs at me when I'm the only person buying a book. Currently, I'm the only person buying Snagglepuss and Lockjaw.
Yeah, but not getting it.
True that. Anyway. Yeah, I got Snagglepuss number 3. It's too bad I don't have number 2. If I can't read it, I don't know what's going on.
I only have issue number 1.
Yeah.
I just picked it up because it was on the shelf, and I was like, oh, I'll check this out. At CBA. Or Worlds Collide, one of the two.
I never saw. I've never seen it on the shelf.
Yeah.
So anyway. But, you know, but I digress.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah.
How would you like a Miles Morales movie?
I would love a Miles Morales movie. Wasn't that Spider-Man Homecoming?
Unfortunately, it's an animated movie, though.
Now, they released a quick little teaser trailer that a few months ago, and it looked pretty sharp.
And also, do you know who I think is going to show up on that by something that was said to me at TCAF?
Gwen.
Spider-Gwen will be in that. Yep.
And because you were talking to...
The guy that co-created Spider-Gwen.
That guy. I can't remember his name.
He's the guy who does that really
that
great
other stuff
image
that's great,
book,
too. Yeah.
That the one guy that never comes out, but it's good. Southern Bastards.
Jason Aaron,
yeah. And he was telling me to, you know, I was saying I'd love a Spider-Gwen movie or TV series. And he's like, well, you'll probably be pretty happy, but he wouldn't go into it. So I predict that I saw the trailer and it looks good.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Christmas in theaters. Christmas 2018.
Boom, boom, boom.
Well, it's, as I said, like the Miles Morales movie was Spider-Man Homecoming. But, you know. Marvel wasn't ready to put that much money into a Black Spider-Man.
December 21st.
What are you doing December 21st?
December 21st is actually my favorite day of the year.
Why is that?
Because it's the shortest day of the year.
Okay.
And I hate it. So I made it my favorite day of the year so I'd look forward to it instead of hating it.
Good for you.
And now I can look forward to going to watch Into the Spider-Verse.
Well, I'll go with you.
Is it coming out in theaters or is it?
It's in theaters.
Oh, cool. Well,
are you going to go?
Let's make it.
All right,
date.
Let's do all it. Right. All right. So we all know what we're doing December 21st.
There you go.
Now,
the other thing that I thought was interesting is for a little while there when New 52 was really sucking wind, I bought a lot of Marvel books.
Wasn't that all of the
New
52?
No, actually, first couple of years were big strong sales, and we could get into that.
We could get into that. It doesn't matter what strong sales is. It doesn't matter mean it's good.
It was okay.
You know.
But anyways, there was, just like the Rebirth, there's some strength and some weaknesses there.
Right.
But anyways, as I was dropping books and books were getting canceled, I ended up getting more and more Marvel books. And at the time, the science fiction-y kind of Marvel books.
Yeah, I remember you were really into that.
Right?
Yeah.
So Guardians of the Galaxy, Nova, all those books were really, really calling to me. And Sam Humphries used to write Nova.
Okay.
And it was like the young Nova. It wasn't Richard Rider, who I remember from the 70s and stuff. Well, Sam signed a contract with DC. So he's going to be doing DC books.
Okay.
He's taking over for Harley Quinn.
Oh, really?
So I'm thinking maybe I might actually become a Harley Quinn reader.
Mm-hmm.
I might try it again. Because I tried reading Harley Quinn when it first came out in Rebirth.
I read it for a long time and I really liked it.
But I just didn't get the beaver.
Well, it was a metaphor for her vagina.
Yes, I know that. But a half-dead zombie beaver, does that mean her lady bits are half-dead zombie?
I don't know what goes on in Harley Quinn's clitoris, my friend.
Oh,
that one's going in the opening credits.
I think just the fact that you had... Yeah, okay. Anyways, just the fact that you had to say that shows me how I did not make a bad decision not read.
I liked it for a long time, and I read it for a long time, but I eventually did drop it because it just got redundant. Like, it just... It was the same thing over and over and over again. I found that slowly over time became a bottom of the pile book for me.
Yeah,
and that's when I dropped it. But I liked it for a long time, and I love Harley Quinn as an anti-hero instead of just a villain. Like, I like that aspect of her. Now, what I was surprised.
Apparently, she goes to Apocalypse and gets new godlike powers.
Well, there you go.
She's gonna be a fury.
She's gonna be a fury. I liked one thing that I'm surprised about is when I first heard about them doing multiple Justice League books and all this stuff, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm out. I don't care. I'm just not going to buy any more DC books. Surprisingly enough, although I wouldn't say I'm crazy interested, I think I'm going to try out the two new Justice League books that they just announced.
I read an interview, and I guess somebody gave an interview at WonderCon, I think it was, or something. But somebody involved in that project talked about it. And the writer at the beginning was like, yeah, I'm not going to bother with these. Had this conversation with this guy. He's like, that's it. I'm done. I'm buying all four.
Interesting.
So it sounds like there's a hook or a twist there that actually these are going to be more interesting.
I wasn't planning on buying that miniseries, but now I'm thinking maybe I should.
Well, I'm not getting the miniseries because I'm kind of done with DC and Marvel and their stupid event books. I'm pretty sure, I just read Metal 6 and I...
But isn't going to tie into the new Justice League book somehow?
Well, Metal's supposed to tie into everything, but...
I don't know. It doesn't tie into anything.
Exactly. So... Yeah. At worst, I'll read it online or I'll get the trade paperback.
I really liked the Terrifics number one, but I didn't read Metal and I still enjoyed it.
Well, Terrifics number two came out before the end of Metal did, so what impact...
When did that come out?
Yeah, I got number two.
When?
I don't know, this week?
I haven't been to the comic store in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's still waiting for me. Okay.
It's like, so how badly did Metal have to happen in order...
Because I understood it okay.
You know, so same thing. I think I'm just going to jump into the books.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to buy the first two. The one because Zatanna's in it, and that's pretty much just a sale for me. The other one, I don't know what it was, but... I just looked at it and was like, hey, you know, it was Cyborg, it was Starfire, it was Jessica Cruz, who, although I don't even think I own a single comic with Jessica Cruz in it, I really like her.
I read the Green Lanterns for a long time.
I downloaded it for a while.
Yeah, and it was a really good comic.
I really like her. Yeah. That's a character I really like. So, and then I don't understand the Dark Side twist, but apparently they say he's like almost their Hannibal Lecter type character.
Yeah, but why is Dark Side looking like Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah. So I'm probably going to buy that, and I'm curious to know what the other two are going to be.
Well, I'm still waiting for the Red Lion comic to come out.
That was hilarious. When you showed me that, I thought, explain that. Tell people that.
Well, I'm sure people, actually, I don't know if people know, but.
You had explained it to me. Yeah. It was pretty funny. Do you know Dan?
No.
There's a character in DC called Red Lion, and he's basically a king of a small African country, and it's technologically advanced, and he literally looks like Black Panther, only in red.
Yeah.
And his name is Red Lion.
It is a riot.
He is a 100% ripoff of Black Panther.
100%.
However, because everybody's like, DC unoriginal. Like the two companies haven't been ripping each other off for 70 years. Give me a break. Yeah. But what it is Christopher Priest, the writer, right, James Owsley, he used to write Black Panther. And a few years ago, he made Red Lion as a wink, wink, nudge, nudge homage and put him into the Deathstroke book as a villain for Deathstroke to fight. I know it sounds stupid since Deathstroke's a villain, but anyways. So he introduced this character 2 years ago. Now everybody's like, oh, because of the Black Panther movie, DC's copy. No, they copied them 2 years ago. You know? It was 2 years
ago. It's just now they've decided to bring him back.
Well, because Christopher, that was in the in the Deathstroke book.
Okay.
Christopher Priest is currently writing the Justice League book.
Okay.
So he's decided to bring Red Lion into an arc in Justice League. So the Justice League Watchtower crashes to Earth.
Okay.
Because of stuff.
Okay.
And it lands in this African country.
Yeah, and Red Lion's all like...
Red Lion's all like...
He's not too happy about it.
Welcome to Wakanda. You know
what I think they need to... you know what I think they need to bring back is Beef Eater. Do you remember Beef Eater? Back from Justice League Europe?
You're killing me.
Do you remember him?
Yes.
Why? Where's Beef Eater been?
In England. Sitting in the abandoned Justice League embassy going... What happened?
I think they need to bring Beef Eater back. Where'd everybody go?
Actually, what happened? Where'd everybody go?
That is the worst British accent since Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
You want to hear my absolute best British accent?
No, British people talk like this. They're like, hello, I wonder what's on Doctor Who tonight. I wonder what's going. Are you going to watch the royal wedding
on the telly?
I heard it's. I don't know. I heard it's going on at the same time as the soccer match.
Nope, football. You just lost it, Sam. You lost any credibility.
I should do that.
And our three British listeners have turned off and are never. Thanks.
Look, see, I'm the guy.
We can't afford to lose any of them.
I'm the guy wearing the Beatles shirt tonight.
Darn colonists.
I should do that for Beatles. They're very good.
There you go.
They're very nice. They're very nice lads.
I say.
When I do a British accent, I just sound like Eric Idle doing a woman.
Well.
Anyways, so the only comic I read all week was Luann.
There you go. So give us the Luann.
Well, we haven't talked really about Luann since the whole souffle lingerie ordeal, which...
Has that been resolved yet?
It has been. There was a big smackdown. And in the end, if you guys are wondering,
are wondering. Okay, we're with bated breath. Please.
You're looking at your here. iPad is what you're doing.
What I'm doing is I'm trying to pull up Luann so I can follow along.
All right. So anyways.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at porn.
So in the end, basically what happened is Tiffany won in the fact that she totally took down Anne Eiffel. And Les sided with, picked his mother, Anne Eiffel, over... didn't pick Anne Eiffel. He picked Tiffany over his mother. However, in the chaos, Tiffany lost her father, who upped her medication and her downed her allowance and made her go to more therapy sessions to choose Anne over her. But anyways, that's been over. This week on Luann, it's funny. I forgot what happened. Yeah, last 2 weeks in Luann? I don't know. So Faye's back, and as people remember, does anybody remember who Faye is?
No.
Okay. So, anyways, Faye is the little girl who Luann is tutoring, who wants to be an actress, and she's in love with a little boy named Axel.
I thought his name was Billy.
No, his name's Axel.
Billy.
And anyways, there's a play, and Faye wants to be in the play, and she wants to audition, but she's too shy because Axel is also auditioning. So Luann has been giving Faye, helping her boost her confidence to be able to audition for the play. However, when Faye's mother found out that Faye was in love with, had a crush on a boy that's in the play, she told her that she was not going to let her audition for the play, and also got mad at Luann saying, we're not paying you money to tutor our daughter in love, to hit on boys and to meet guys. So what are you doing? However, Faye talked to her mom and got her permission to audition for the play. And not only did she get audition, but Faye got the part and Axel's the leading man. But they play brother and sister in the play. They're not romantic leads. And in today's strip, Faye's mom actually met Axel, and who knows what could there be more romance in the air? I don't know. Luann, gocomics.com.
We're still not getting a sponsorship deal, though, right?
No.
Okay.
Hmm.
That's all.
There you go. You've left us absolutely speechless. Yeah,
I've only read one comic since we went up to the Comic-Con last weekend.
What was that?
And that was Morris issue 0.
Hey,
I don't know if you guys talked about that one.
We did a little bit, but we would like to know
what you have to say.
Because Sam and I differ in opinion.
We disagree on
opinion.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker.
Uh-huh.
It is a, I think it's a really good prequel to the actual story that's coming out.
So he thinks it's a postquel.
Postquel.
Yeah, I think it's actually what happens after the story coming to set up suspense. I think the story is going to be like, the, you know how there's the guy and the girl and Morris, and you're not sure how it's all connected? I think the book's actually going to tell that
story. What happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that would be a really cool, interesting thing to have issue 0 be the after the fallout, you know. But I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
I think that we're seeing the beginning. We're just like, it's like the comic book is just throwing us into the world of Morris already having started.
See, that's what I said.
Right? That's what you said. So you two agree.
So like,
however, did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Oh, I liked it too. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it is definitely like teaser prequel. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot that happens except to get you to go like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, I think it's, oh my God, what happened? You know?
Either way, I think Shane has succeeded Shane Herron in doing what exactly he wanted to do and get interest in the series.
Sure.
So here's this little bit, and it's going to give you more questions than answers, but it's going to make you want to find out those answers in the next.
Now, I was talking to Shane at Toronto Comic Con, and I told him he has to come back to the show, and he said that he wants to. He does want to come to Peterborough, and he wants to stay longer. So we really need to make that a thing.
Well, the guest bedroom is always available, and if anybody is curious, it's two double beds in a hotel-like I have kids that moved away for university, so it's quiet and it's soundproof. And
Marty's guest bedroom is nicer than my entire apartment.
There's a lock on the door from the outside. And no. That's the other room in the house. Sorry, never mind.
So, yeah, no, it is nice. So, Shane, you should come. And all of our comic friends are always invited.
Anytime.
We need to get more people to travel to Peterborough and be on the show.
Well, something's got to bring people to this city.
Oh, there's many things that bring people to the city. There's
our logo, our motto,
our new slogan.
With the blue bacon.
Above the ordinary.
Was it? No.
Seek the ordinary. Or no, it's
nothing but ordinary.
I liked what I think you posted, the one Oshawa's reputation,
our
Peterborough's reality.
That should have been the slogan.
That's still like that one sign we pass every time we drive through Oshawa. The schwa, she may be dirty, but she's home.
What I think's funny, and I love Peterborough, and I do, but what I do find interesting is that you walk through the streets of Oshawa. Oh. We're in Oshawa all the time.
I'm going to interrupt you because the greatest thing ever happened to me the other day.
You got a free biscuit at Popeyes?
No. Oh. I was standing on the corner of near Walk-on Wood. I was actually stopping at Grey Guardian to pick up my comics, but I had to park around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess St. John's, the church, was having like a feed the homeless, feed the poor dinner, you know how churches do.
Yeah.
And the number of just interesting people that walked past me on the way to go get pulled pork from the St. John's. Hey, Billy, they got pulled pork up on the hill. Pulled pork, I'm going. Oh, yeah.
As I said,
there are some winners.
Oshawa's reputation, Peterborough's reality.
Oh my goodness,
it's true. You walk through the streets of Oshawa. I don't see too often. Do I see a lot of crazy? But when you walk through,
you see a lot of closed stores, but not a lot of crazy.
Not a lot of crazy, but you go downtown in Peterborough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Everything that you've heard about Oshawa's going on.
We walked along the train tracks by the Chamber of Commerce, and you know how there's that little bridge by the creek?
Yeah.
Well, I looked over, just looking, right? And there's this little bum encampment there. Yes, I used the word bum.
Okay.
And I just looked over, and all of a sudden, these two bums look up at me. Hey, you! Hey, what are you looking at? Hey, come here, I want to talk to you! bootlegged out of there so fast.
I wish we had time for this, but quickly, tell the Oshawa biscuit story.
Oh, my God.
This is my favorite Oshawa story. No, okay, so. No, you tell the biscuit
right,
story.
Real quick.
Okay.
So on one of our little Oshawa safaris, we stopped at
Popeye's Chicken.
Yeah. And as we're sitting there waiting for the order, right, this lady boots it right into the door.
I didn't get my biscuit.
No, no, it's not that she didn't get one biscuit. She thought that they were supposed to get two biscuits, and they only got one biscuit.
Yeah, but she initially came in just saying, I didn't get my biscuit. And then she started explaining it in her cracked out kind of
Oshawa voice.
Oshawa cracked. Yeah. I don't want to use the W word, but she looked like a cracked W. And she's like,
my husband's sitting in the van. Don't make him come in here because I was supposed to get a biscuit and I didn't get a biscuit. And there was only one biscuit in the bag and there should be two biscuits in the bag. And she's just going on.
And the poor guy behind the counter, obviously an immigrant of some form or another, English wasn't his strong suit.
Yeah.
And he just like gave up and just like, give her a biscuit. Get her out of here. Just give her a darn biscuit. You know, in Farsi or whatever language he speaks. You could just see on his face, he was just like, just give the woman a biscuit so she leaves.
So he gives her a biscuit.
Yeah, gives
her
a biscuit.
So she takes off.
Gets in the car. The van screeches out of the parking lot. You know,
start the car. I stole a biscuit.
So at that point, I look at the guy, look at the poor girl who does a lot of English spills. And I said, so I didn't get my biscuit.
I almost died when you said that. I thought for sure somebody was going to be, like, beaten to death.
Well, what happens, Marty?
Well, the guy behind the counter, obviously the manager or the owner, he just starts laughing his face
off.
He
knew I was kidding.
Just howling.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just goes, biscuit for you and biscuit for you.
And he gave me and Marty extra biscuits. So every time we talk about like the
just the look on that poor guy's face, it was just like, get her out of the, give her free chicken. I don't care. Yeah. Whatever you have to do on the counter, get her out of my store. That was the look on his face.
So every time we go to Oshawa for our comics, for some reason, this biscuit thing comes up. Like that's sort of like our image of Oshawa is sketched out.
It's like a Pavlovian dog. The second we see
Welcome to Oshawa, you start to salivate.
Yeah, we start going, it's gonna be like,
whenever we see a Popeye's chicken, the first word out of my mouth, even before a Sam is just about to say it,
wait, my biscuit.
Well, that's all the time we got for this this episode. You can check us out at heykidscomics.ca or on iTunes and Google Play for some more of
Don't
our
Don't forget
older
First
issues.
Comics News.
And yes, First Comics News always has the First Comics News.
But they don't have biscuits.
Let's go get biscuits.
They don't have biscuits.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?